The mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth, and he may judge his people. Gather to me my consecrated ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of the bull from your stall or the goats from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice thank offerings to God, fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honour me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my laws or take my covenant on your lips? You hate my instruction and cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you join with him. You throw in your lots with adulterers. You use your mouth for evil and harness your tongue to deceit. You speak continually against your brother and slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and accuse you to your face. Consider this, you who forgot God, or I will tear you to pieces with none to rescue. He who sacrifices thank offerings honours me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God.
This morning we're going to start a series on money. Because normally once a year during the annual general meeting we look at the financials of the church, but that's actually the only time that we do that. So with the AGM being held this week, a couple of weeks ago as a session, we were talking about it, and maybe we thought it was good to hear what the Bible says about money, what the Bible says about giving, what the Bible says about wealth. So today it's the first on that series, and there will be a few more which Darren will do. And there are five questions I would like to look at this morning. First question is, what are the extreme views? So what are the extreme views that I decide? How is money used in the Bible? What does Jesus say about it? And is money our priority? And lastly, is what is really important? And I think the children, our ears and Malus, and the song that we sung already answers that last question. But let's see how we get there through the other questions. Because if you look at God and money, for many centuries, people have struggled with that question. Some have seen it as part of God's creation, and others have seen it as the root of all evil. And when we look at the extremes, we see on one end of the spectrum the people that have been blessed with lots of money. And they see that as God's blessing for being a godly person. They see their wealth as a blessing for the good they have done in their lives. As if our bank account is a barometer for our spirituality. And part of this group are also the so-called prosperity preachers that are preaching every Sunday that if you follow a certain number of steps, God will bless you richly with good health and prosperity. And these preachers often attract full churches. I saw that in the States there is a preacher who has 56,000 people every Sunday in his church. They have bought an old basketball arena and they've changed it, and every week he's preaching his message of good health and blessing. And yes, it's good to hear about God's mercy for people and to teach that God is good, that he is looking after his people. And like I said, last week I was preaching in Bury St. Edmunds and I preached about Jesus, where he said, "Do not worry. Look at the birds of the sky. Look at the lilies in the field. If God cares for them, then surely he will also care for you." And that message stands. But on its own, that is a shallow message, because how can we accept God's grace if we don't realize that we are sinners? How can we deal with the troubles and the sorrow, results of our sinful life, if we only hear that God wants us healthy, that he only wants prosperity in our lives? Because that can make us doubtful if things don't go as they're being pictured. We might be doubtful if that is the only message. And that is why we confess our sins, to be aware that we live in a broken world and that we need our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are not able to do it on our own. If we would be on our own, we couldn't do anything. So on one end we have the prosperity preachers just speaking about God's blessing for his followers. Follow this and you will get lots of money. On the other hand of the spectrum, we see Christians that take a complete opposite view. For them, money contaminates our relationship with God. And only by ridding ourselves of as much money as possible can we ever know God properly. And these Christians have chosen throughout centuries to starve themselves as a punishment for their sin and to come closer to God. And this form, called ascesis, has been at the heart of many religious orders. For instance, the Order of the Franciscans. And also in many other religions of this world, this is seen as the best way to come closer to a higher spirit. So these are the two extremes. People that believe that material wealth is God's blessing for the righteous, and those who believe that starving yourself and having no money at all is a better way to come to God. So now here we are in Chelmsford, 2014. And you might all have your own definition of money and the role it plays in your life. Some of you might think it is a necessary evil, and others might think it's a means to move forward in our lives. And interestingly enough, this series was to start today when I was scheduled to preach. And Darren, when mentioned that he was going to do this series some weeks ago, said, "Good, Hugo, because this topic must suit you very well." And I'm still not sure what he meant by that. But clearly in my life, I've always seen God's blessing in my life. But definitely that wasn't always through large amounts of money. Because on the contrary, life with God for me was normally closest when I ran out of money, when I needed to be truly dependent on his provision. And a couple of years ago, when I was reading about wealth, I came across the following definition of true wealth. True wealth is what's left of you when they strip away all your money. So true wealth is what's left of you when they strip away all your money. And that is probably closer to what the Bible says about money. Because what is the core of our being? What is our top priority? And what about money and the role it plays in our lives. And clearly, when we search for money in the Bible, and nowadays it's great with all the tools that we have, the apps on our computers, when you search for money in the Bible, there's 80 places where money is being mentioned. So clearly, and I won't go through all the 80 texts, you can do that for yourself. But clearly, if you look at all these texts, money is just a tool that is being used to pay laborers, to buy food, to buy land. So what is money actually? Money is an agreed medium that we use to trade with each other. And if we look in Genesis 47, during the time of the famine, and Joseph had stored up all this food in the big barns, and he was distributing it to the people, the Egyptians and also the people from Canaan could come to him and buy the food with money. But at one stage they run out of money. So they say to Joseph, "We have run out of money, what shall we do?" And Joseph says, "Well, bring me your livestock." So they bring him all his all their livestock, and he gives them food in exchange. And when they run out of livestock, he says, "Bring me your land." And at the end, they even brought their lives, and they became sort of slaves for Pharaoh. But as we can see here, money was only being used to trade with each other. And we use money so we can trade without exchanging sheep and goats. And clearly in the Bible it's used in the same way. And therefore we have to see money as a provision of God, as part of his creation, as a tool that we can use in our daily lives. And in the Bible we see that some of the wealthiest men were godly people, like Abraham, Solomon, and Job. But you might say, "Hold on, Hugo, that all sounds too good. Because does Jesus not tell the rich man to sell all his possessions and give it to the poor?" And yes, that is correct. But when Jesus said, "Sell your possessions and give to the poor," he was talking about the priorities in our lives and how it determines the course of our life. Because he was saying, wherever your treasure is, where the most important thing is for you, wherever that you believe is the thing that gives you satisfaction and success that your life depends upon, that's where you will go on. That's where you will end up with. So the question is, what is your priority? Are you focusing on God and trusting in him? Or in reality, are you focusing on your money to find security in that? And security is a great thing. No person can live well without a sense of security. But having security in the wrong thing does not lead to the greater well-being. And Scripture gives us plenty of examples of trusting in things that we shouldn't, especially the false hope that comes from wanting a lot of money, and the false security that comes from getting it. And when we put our hope in our possessions and our money, all our effort goes to doing whatever it takes to get money, even to the point to put aside the good things in our lives. And for the love of money, some have ruined their marriages. Some have harmed neighbors and friends. And Scripture says in 1 Timothy 6 verse 10, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." But again, we need to read careful here. Money is not the root of all kinds of evil, but the love of money is. As soon as it becomes our priority, even only if it is an addition of a life with Christ we end up in trouble. In fact, putting our hope in anything or anyone but Jesus Christ is at the root of all our trouble. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Our willpower cannot get us around that one. Whatever the source of our security may be, it will always determine our actions and the directions we take in life. And Paul writes to the Galatians in chapter 6, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternity. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So can we put our security in money and material wealth? Yes, we can. Can we keep our money to ourselves and use it only for our own pleasures? Yes, we can. Can we use money to save ourselves from poverty and need? Yes, we can. But saving money like that will make us bankrupt. Maybe not in this life, but certainly in the life to come. We cannot afford to put our security in money and material wealth. That is a false security. That is a deception. And that is also what we were singing. Store your treasures in heaven. So what a relief then that we may use money for the sake of a kingdom that cannot be shaken and place it in treasure stores that cannot be exhausted, where no thief comes and no moth destroys. And God has created the world and all that is in the world. We can read it in Genesis 1 and 2, and earlier in Psalm 8, that God created the heavens and the earth, but he put man over his creation to work in it and to care for it. And that includes money as well. And we read in Psalm 50 that all is God's. It's all his. We are here to watch over it, to use it. But God owns it all. And also Jesus, in his preaching, was not preaching against money. When he commands us to sell our possessions and to give to the poor, he isn't against wealth. It is not his intention that we or anyone else is just being poor. He's not telling us to renounce earthly treasures and join an order or a monastery. He is looking for disciples who are using money wisely. And so when he warns us not to store up treasures on earth, he is warning us that earthly money and treasures will definitely be lost. Either it leaves us while we live, or we leave it when we die. Treasures on earth are fragile. The only way to preserve them is to turn them into treasures in heaven. And Solomon, one of the richest men ever lived, writes in Ecclesiastes, naked a man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. You can't take it with you. And when Jesus speaks of thieves and moths taking our earthly treasures, he is saying, you can't take it with you. But he adds, you can send it on ahead. We make choices today that may result in eternal treasures in heaven. Be wise and generous using your earthly resources. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 6, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Whatever treasures we store up here on earth will be left behind when we leave. Whatever treasures we store up in heaven will be waiting for us when we arrive. Have you been making regular deposits in your account in heaven? So we've seen that God has created the heavens and the earth, including money. And we've seen that He allows us to use money as part of our lives, that we can use money as a means to build His kingdom. But money cannot become our priority. Our priority should be the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And if we trust in Him, He will give us what we need. He might not give us what we want, but He said that He will give us what we need. So how you view money in this life really depends on what your top priority is. And it's either God's kingdom or the things of this world. Amen.